This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Friends, today I want to talk to you about the fact that man shall not live by bread alone. That was Jesus' statement. He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said the enemy was tempting him in a time when there were so many other natural desires. I mean, obviously he was busy fasting. There was a lot of lack. There was a lot of kind of like, hey, I'm needing something. And then when the enemy tempted him with physical food, he said, listen, I'm not after physical food. I'm after the word of God. He says, but every word, man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I believe over the next few weeks, we need to go into a journey where we rediscover and we go deeper into the value of God's word in our lives. The value of how you and I can be sustained by God's word. We're going to be looking at how you and I, we can live in the fruit of the word of God. I believe that everything you see on this planet is the product of God's word. The Bible actually says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Everything that was made by him. Everything that was made by him. This is John chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, all things that were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything was made through the word of God. Now, you must understand, Jesus Christ actually interchanges. He says, the word of God, everything was created through the word of God. And then it says, speaks about Jesus. And this word, in John chapter 1, verse 14, became flesh. This word ended up becoming, expressing himself, Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, the word of God was expressed. God, actually, when he created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says God spoke. He said, let there be light. He spoke, and just by his words, he created. I believe that the word of God is the most powerful reality on the planet, because God's word, he doesn't separate himself from his word. He actually connects the person of Jesus Christ with his word. And the more you and I get to know the word, the more we get to know Jesus, because God will not separate himself from his word. It's amazing how many people in the Western world, especially in our society, are so familiar with the word of God. They probably have three or four different Bible translations in their Bible, in their house. They've got YouVersion apps, and they've got Bible apps on their phones, and they've got access to the word, but they don't read it. It's like Steve Wimble says this. He says, it's amazing how some people might have the most amazing vehicle. You might have the most amazing car, and it can go amazing. It's just this phenomenal vehicle. But if you park it in that garage and you don't drive it, no matter how amazing the vehicle is, you'll never experience the benefit of it. You'll never experience the joy, the pleasure, the value it can add to your life. And that's what the Word of God is all about. That's why I believe the enemy's scheme is to keep the people of God out of the Word of God. Because if he can keep you out of the Word of God, he's going to keep you away from the life of God. He's going to keep you away from the favor of God, the blessing of God. He's going to keep you away from you and me understanding truth. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see how the Word of God benefits us at every level. So you don't want to miss one of these weeks. I believe God's going to do something awesome. It's amazing for me, friends, how we take the Word of God for granted. The physical paper word. We take the written word, I mean the written word of God, we take it for granted. But when I look at nations where they've been persecuted, when I think of nations like China, I've heard what they would do in nations like China, because the word of God was not freely available. What they would do is they would literally take a Bible, tear out the pages nicely, and then they would share the pages among one another. And then when you got a page, what they would do is they would memorize that page from back to front. And then they would memorize it so that they can pass it on to someone else and get a new page. And they couldn't wait to get another page of the Bible. I saw on YouTube clips how people in Asia would get the Bible through the Bible Society and through the just these amazing organizations distributing the word. And how people would weep, how they would weep just because they get hold of a Bible. And you and I have access to this amazing word, friends. This is not just a book. This is the very word of God. It's not just a book. It's made up of 66 different books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years. And friends, I'm telling you today, it's a miraculous book. The only way you can describe this book is it's the very words of God. The reason why I believe this book is so powerful, because this book does not only give us truth, it doesn't only give us history, but it changes us. This book is an expression of Jesus into our lives. Billy Graham says this. He says, we need to encourage new believers to feed on God's word. It is nourishment for the soul. Isn't that amazing? The word of God is nourishment for the soul. If your soul, I don't know what COVID's done in your life, but if your soul has been battered and bruised, you need nourishment for your soul. And I believe the word of God. And if you may be far from God and you want to become a follower of Jesus today, I believe that as you hear his word, Romans says, you'll get faith. And as God's word is spoken to you, you'll be able to put your faith in God and you'll be able to be saved. Because the word of God, the gospel spoken through the word of God, is what brings about salvation. The Spirit of God will actually bring about salvation through the word of God. And I believe that as you and I, maybe you're new in Christ and you've been serving God for just a short while, or maybe for many years, you need to find yourself in the word of God. You know that the word of God is so valuable that God values his word so amazingly that he doesn't separate his reputation from his word. It says in Psalm 138 verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have exalted your word above your name. God has exalted, he's magnified his word above his name. Now your name, friends, is very, very powerful. The writer of Proverbs says that a good name is worth more than gold, more than silver. A good name is very valuable. A good name speaks of your reputation. A good name speaks of your integrity. A good name speaks of your trustworthiness. And so God is saying, my name is good. I mean, there's no higher name than the name of Jesus. His name is above all names. But listen to this, friends. He says, my word. If I say something, I put that even above my reputation. You can never, ever undermine my reputation when it comes to my word. Friends, I want to ask you, how do you value the word of God? Because God says his word is so powerful that he exalts his word even above his name, his reputation. That means that his reputation is linked to his word. That's why you'll never, ever, ever go against his word. The Bible says that his word will never fail. His word will never return to him void. That's what it says in Isaiah 55. And in John chapter 6, verse 68, it says, Simon Peter answered him. And this is now Jesus is saying to them, are they going to go? Are you going to go? And I believe that in COVID, I believe many of us are being asked, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go in the midst of COVID? Where are you going to go? Are you going to get offended? Do you want comfort? Are you going to disengage with God and the purposes of God and the call of God and the obedience to God? Or are you going to stay with him? And listen to what Peter says. He says this to Jesus. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I believe, friends, this is why we're doing this series on the Bible. This is why we're doing this series on the Word of God. Because where are we going to go, friends, if we cannot go to the Word of God? Where are we going to go? Where can you go? Where can you and I go? We can't go to the news, friends. We can't go to even science. As good as they might have it right here and there. But we can't go to things that are man-made, that are temporary. We've got to go, friends, to the Word of God. And then we're going to see over the series how science confirms the Word of God. The Word of God goes before science. So science merely just has to show that the Word of God is true. The science merely just confirms that the Word of God is true. And will we be like Peter in this time to say, Lord, we can't go anywhere. We can't go to anyone. I can't go to my government. I can't go anywhere. I need to go to the words of eternal life. I believe the soul can do without everything except the Word of God. That's what Martin Luther said. He said, without which none at all of its wants are provided for. Martin Luther says, the soul cannot go without anything. It can do nothing without the Word of God, except by the Word of God. I look back at my life, friends, and I want to be vulnerable with you. I've had ups and downs. I've had difficult seasons. And especially in the hard times, especially in the confusing times, and especially in the times when you're riding in the mist and in the fog. I remember going on holiday once with our family, and I remember driving with a car, and it was like down this pass in the Eastern Cape, and Marie and I, we were quite tense because it was quite a stressful experience. And the reason why it was so stressful was it was late at night. We had left that morning, and we were there. Now it was about 9 o'clock at night, and we were in the middle of the dark, and it was misty so badly. The mist was so thick that we could not see anything beyond us. And so what we did was we slowed down, and we put the dim lights on. We put those dim lights on. We were able to just see a little bit in front of us. And so slowly but surely, I literally just followed where the light was showing me. And without those little dim lights, I was going to make an accident. Without those dim lights, I was not going to be able to make it to my destination. And I've learned that the Bible says that God's word, Psalm 119, is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Without the word of God, you and I are going to make major accidents in our lives. We're going to make major mistakes. I've been sustained by the word of God, friends. See, it says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 9, it says that, and this for me was a key verse, a key text that we got as an eldership team. What happened with us is we prayed and we said, Lord, we want to be sustained by your word. And we were in a time of prayer and fasting in the beginning of 2020. And then while we were praying as an eldership team, we said, let's come together. What's God saying to you? And I remember coming to the elders saying, you know what? We've been building City on Hill Church on Isaiah 61. And I started reading Isaiah 61 and I said, we've been building it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And we said, and to preach the good news. And we've been building this church on this word that we said, Lord, we want to do things. We want to fulfill this prophetic promise. That's Jesus Christ. That was your mandate on the planet. And now we are in Christ. We are your hands and feet. The local church is an expression of Jesus on the planet. And so what we did was we were reading. And then as we were reading, we said, this is what God is saying to us for this next season. And then we went to verse 7, which speaks about double honor. We're like, yes, Lord, you're going to do double. And then we looked to verse 8. And then when we got to verse 9, God spoke to us. And he said this in verse 9. He says, their offspring, and he's talking about the people that we are reaching. He's talking about the people that we are ministering to. Their offspring, the people of in our church, the people that we're ministering to, their offspring, their children. Listen to this. Shall be known among the nations, so their children, our children, are going to be those that are going to take the gospel to the nations. The nations are going to know our children. The nations will know our children. It says, and their descendants, our descendants, the descendants that we minister to, the descendants of the people that we minister to, in the midst, will be known in the midst of the peoples, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring that the Lord has blessed. Isn't that amazing? They're going to be an offspring that the Lord has blessed. And so we said as elders, we said, God is speaking to us, friends. We are doing a lot for the adults in our church. What about our offspring? What about our descendants? What about our descendants taking hold of their inheritance? And what about us? We have a great facility, but what about our descendants? What about our children? And so on that word, on this word, on Isaiah 61 verse 9, we as an eldership team went to the deacon team and we said, guys, what do you think? Do you think we should build a kids facility? I said, it's going to cost a lot of money. We don't have the money, but do you think we should do this? Can we pray? And they prayed. And they came back and they said, yes, God spoke. Yes, we should do this. And you know, our deacons sacrificially gave. And then our church sacrificially gave. And in the midst of a pandemic, we built an amazing kids facility that literally can house 300 children. Miraculously. And you know why we built that facility? Because now we can equip them. We can train them. Friday nights, youth. Sunday morning, Sunday nights, we can equip them, we can share the gospel with them, and they can become followers of Jesus. And not only followers of Jesus, but witnesses of Jesus in the city and in the nations of the world. And friends, even though COVID has now come and now we're not able to meet with so many, I'm standing on this word. I said, Lord, you said our descendants are going to possess nations, and that's what we stand on. See, God holds everything together with his word. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. God upholds everything by the word of his power. Friends, this church is upheld by the word of his power. And my marriage is upheld by the word of God. My kids, my future is held by the word of God. I've got to put my faith in Jesus Christ and his word. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand, excuse me, of the majesty on high. See, Jesus Christ holds everything together by his word. His word sustains us. His word is living and active, it says in Hebrews chapter 4. His word is life-giving. Now, friends, you might be saying, but Mark, why is the word of God so powerful? And why is it so needed in my life? Friends, the word of God is amazing. And you can never, ever devalue the word, but you can miss out on the power of the word in your life. And the reason why is because as you and I engage with the word of God, as we engage with the word of God daily, we're going to look over the next few weeks the value of doing that and how to do that more effectively. You don't want to miss one week. But the reason why it's so important to engage with the word of God is the Bible says that you and I actually draw faith from the word of God. Now, the reason why we draw faith from the word of God is it says in Romans chapter 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to engage with the word of God because faith is built in our hearts when we engage with the word of God. And when we understand that the word of God and Jesus, because actually they call him in Revelation, they call him the word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus Christ revealed himself to us through the scriptures. And as we engage with the scriptures, we engage with Jesus. When you engage with the scriptures, with the heart of God, with a heart for God, by the power of the Spirit, Jesus reveals himself to you. And it says, when we look unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so the reason why you and I, one of the major reasons why we engage with the word of God is number one, is we want to get to know God. Because Paul writes this, he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. We get to know God when we spend time in his word. That's why this series is so important for us. But secondly, as we get to know God, faith rises in our hearts. And then we experience this faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then we start seeing supernatural things happen in our lives because we're engaging with the word of God. And this word releases faith, but this word also releases life. This word gives life to our mortal bodies. This word gives life to every part of our lives. It says in John 6, verse 63, it says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking, they are full of spirit and life. They are full of spirit and life. Friends, the words that Jesus speaks to you every day, they are full of spirit and life. If you are lacking life, if you're lacking a zeal for life, you need to engage with the word of God. It's full of spirit and life. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So as you open your heart to the word of God, it gives light. It brings light and brings understanding. If there's a dark area of your life, it might be something that you've been hiding from. If you bring the word of God into that situation, if there's dark thoughts, or you're battling with depression or discouragement or despair or hopelessness, I want to ask you, speak the word of God into that season. Speak the word of God into that darkness, because the entrance of his word brings light. In John chapter 2 verse 5, we see Mary engaging with the servants, and Jesus is in the room. And as Jesus is there, she's saying to Jesus, Jesus, won't you do a miracle for us? Jesus, we need a miracle. And you know what happens? It's amazing. She says this. She says, Jesus says, it's not my time to act. And she says this to the servants in John chapter 2, verse 5. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Friends, she saw a miracle. They would never have seen water turning to wine. They would never have seen a supernatural miracle. And not only a miracle for that moment, but also a miracle for the ages. They would never have seen it if she did not have this attitude. Whatever Jesus says, do it. Next week, we're going to touch on this amazing reality. But I believe we need to engage with Jesus' word, and we need to do what it says. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. Now you say, but how does the word of God apply and impact my life? We see how Jesus comes to to the disciples, and he engages with Peter, and he said to Peter, listen, let's launch out, verse 4 of Luke chapter 5, let's launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So Jesus is saying, could you step out in faith? Could you do something by faith, Peter? Could you reach out and take hold of the more? Could you reach out and take hold of the inheritance that you have? And I want to ask you, husbands or fathers or wives or mothers or business owners or teachers or doctors, I want to say to you that Jesus wants, well, he wants to give you more of your inheritance. He wants you to step into the abundance that he has for you. He wants you to step into the fruitfulness. He wants you to be able to be a fisher of men. He wants you to be a blessing. But now here's the thing, friends, is often we've been disappointed in the past, and so we don't step out again. But Simon Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Friends, listen to this. We need to have this attitude that Peter had. Lord, I've tried all night. I've done everything I can. But Lord, even though I don't understand, and even though it's uncomfortable, and even if your word says we need to gather, and it's difficult for me to gather, and even if your word says I need to honor you with my finances, and it's difficult for me to honor you, and even when your word says forgive, friends, for me, one of the hardest things for me that this Bible has asked me to do is to forgive someone that has hurt me. And when someone has hurt you so deeply, and they've disappointed you, and you're carrying the pain, and now you've got to forgive, and then you go to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, your word says that I can live free when I forgive. And then you forgive, and then you experience the harvest, the blessing, the favor, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, because you stepped out and obeyed the word of God. He says, but at your word, I will let down the net. Could we become people that know the word of God, could that hear the voice of God through the word of God, and that we would then act on that word? It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Isn't that amazing? I believe that one of the key ways that the Word of God helps us in these times is, especially in the midst of temptation, is when we are facing temptation, we need to quote the Bible. We need to go to the Scriptures. When you are facing wrong thoughts, or maybe you're tempted to do something or say something or go somewhere or engage in something that you know is going to be destructive and you know God's not calling you to do, you and I need to respond to the lies of the enemy. We need to respond to the temptations of the enemy with the word of God. That's how Jesus did it. Jesus, all three temptations that the enemy brought to him in the wilderness, he responded by saying, it is written. He didn't respond by, I think, or maybe it's not going to be, I'm upset with you, devil. He didn't respond in the flesh, friends. He just responded by saying, it is written. And the Lord said this to me. He said, Mark, how will the people ever be able to say to the enemy, it's written, if they don't know what's written? If we don't know what's written in this Bible, if we don't know what's written, if I don't read it every day and engage with it and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. If I don't know what it says, how am I going to reference it? How am I going to say it's written if I don't know what is written? And so this next 6 weeks, we want to help you so that you can get to know the written word of God. And that the life of God will be released and the light of Jesus will be released as you and I get to know what's written, as we know how to engage with the written word of God so that we can withstand the temptations and the lies of the enemy. I believe we're in a season where there's a lot of lies, friends. The whole world is filled with lies. There's fake news and there's lies everywhere. There's lies about the medicine. There's lies about the pandemic, there's lies about politics, there's lies about the economy, there's lies everywhere. And in this time, people are desperate for truth. And Jesus' words, they are truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, in a time of so many lies, I believe we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I believe that we need to know the truth in this time of many, many lies. Charles Spurgeon spoke of a man called John Bunyan. Now, John Bunyan was a phenomenal, amazing minister of God. He was radical. He was a pioneer. He made a massive impact. Friends, he actually impacted so many lives. And he lived a life of faith. And he lived a life to the glory of God. And John Bunyan's testimony was that he was a man of the word. Charles Spurgeon says this about him. He says, if you cut him, cut him, John Bunyan, he'd bleed scripture. People that I'm most attracted to, not people that always are very, they know better, be the people that I'm most attracted to are the people that love God's word and that live God's word and that share God's word and that pray God's word and that meditate on God's word. Those are the people that I'm most attracted to. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is living and active. It's alive. Friends, you and I can engage with this living word. And I want to invite you on this 6-week journey with us. Come to one of our banquets if you are in our city. And if you can get to one of our banquets, connect, commit to a 6-week journey. Let's engage in this amazing journey called Bestseller and understanding God's word and knowing his word. But maybe you're watching today and you've been far from God and you're saying, but Mark, you're talking about Jesus and his word, but I don't even know him. And today is your day of salvation. Today, I want to invite you to turn your back on sin, to turn your back on even trusting in yourself, and to put your trust in him. But if you're close to God and you've been like me and you said, Lord, I afresh want to come to your word with a fresh heart, with a heart that is soft. I want the word of God to penetrate my heart. I want my life to be changed by your word afresh. God, I want to study your word. Reveal your word to me by your spirit. I want your word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want your word to be my living hope, to be my living anchor for my soul. I want your word to nourish me, like Billy Graham says. If that's you, don't you want to pray that? Lord, I pray right now that those far from you will find a good church and today will put their faith in you, because your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. But the rest of us, Lord, that this word, Jesus, you spoke so much about your word, that you've exalted your word above your name. But as we apply this word, that we'll see many, many breakthroughs and many amazing opportunities for fruitfulness as we apply your word, as we engage with your word, and as we see your word unfold in our lives. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person watching in Jesus' name. Even as we worship, may we engage with your word and speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.